As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Boy, we're going to be in the air for a few minutes this morning. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Wednesday, December the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. We've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout out once again to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, and in all of these contact information is posted on oraclebroadcasting.com. You can certainly log on to that book site today and bookmark it if you haven't already. But our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. This morning, precious metals traded lower on the U.S. dollar index gains, a little bit of a collapse in the stock market in Europe over the evening. Lots of action happening in the marketplace today. Most of everything is in the red, however. Part three today, the history of law, schools of legal thought, early codes. We'll go into all of that. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. We've got some news to talk about a little bit in this first half hour as well. Wednesday, December the 30th, 2009, after trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading off $7 at $1,088.90, now back below that $1,100 mark. Silver down 20 cents, $16.87 an ounce. Platinum drops $2 at $1,461. That's $1,461 an ounce. And palladium moves up $7. The big winner on the day so far, $391 an ounce, closing in on that $400 mark. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,087.60 for a low, $1,097.20 for a high. In London this morning, the gentleman set the price at $1,092.50. You can see we're trading below that now. Yesterday, the Dow Jones closed off two at 10,545. The NASDAQ closed off three at 2,288. And the S&P closed off two at 1,126. The crude oil this morning keeps going up and up and up. Will we see $80 soon? Very likely. Loses 2 cents, however, in early morning trading, trades at $78.85 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. And in the U.S. dollar index, the USDX, that intercontinental exchange traded fund, up 12 basis points at 77.96. You're back. Yeah.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday morning, December 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Sitting out here in southwest Missouri, 36 degrees, overcast skies. It's calm. Got 2 inches of fresh snow overnight. It's kind of wintertime. Wintry, isn't it? Wintry. How nice. Anyway, let's go back in and close out that market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City is 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we find gold trading off $7 at $1,088.90 an ounce. 1,088.90. An ounce. Silver lost 20 cents at 1687. Platinum losing $2 at 1461. And palladium up $7 at $391 an ounce. Found the crude oil trades off another 2 cents, but it's still hitting pretty close. You know, early on, must have been 6 or 7 months ago, we were reading reports where by this time we were expected to be at $80 a barrel oil again, and we're not far away from that now. So $78.85 for a barrel of crude this morning. The USDX moves up 12 basis points and trades at 77.96 on the Intercontinental Exchange trade-weighted basket of currencies. Our little basket of currencies here in the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement. The Canadian dollar this morning, all of the currencies that I track are down this morning, strongly some. The Canadian dollar off 51 basis points, trades back again at 95 cents U.S. The Mexican peso kind of You know, it just kind of holds up the bottom of it all, doesn't it? Moving down 29 basis points, yet still trades at 8 cents U.S. Fill up your pockets with pesos. The euro this morning loses 30 basis points, trades at $1.43 against the U.S. dollar. The British pound off 11 basis points, trades at $1.59. And the Swiss franc down another 14 basis points, trades, however, at 96 cents U.S. In the bond market, the yield on the two-year is at 1.09%. That's definitely a long ways above where it was trading earlier this past couple of months, down in the 65s, the 70s, even in the 80s, but now it's 1.09%. The 10-year bond is yielding 3.80, and the 30-year is at 4.64. It's a fairly even spread across there, and there is a little bit of talk on the town about buying these bonds again, but, you know, it's really... My goodness, at those with the possibility of the inflation running 11, 12, maybe higher percent, why would you lock yourself in at a 4.64% yield? That just doesn't make sense to me. In the mortgage market, however, going the other direction, making it a little bit more difficult for those people out there that are scrambling to keep themselves from being foreclosed upon, those people out there that are trying to buy a house, talk about housing starts up, housing starts down, well, these are still very low interest rates, but they're moving up. So, in other words, they're tightening the purse a little bit, making it more difficult and more expensive to get a mortgage. And the 15-year mortgage this morning moving up to 4.67% as an interest rate, as opposed to 30 days ago at 4.48%. So that's a pretty strong move up. And in the 30-year mortgage, moving up from 4.97% a month ago, now it's going to cost you 5.34% on your mortgage to get your mortgage. Of course, you're going to have to pay, as we say, points and origination fees and other things on top of that, but your monthly rent is going to be higher. And if we read on the news correctly, they're part of the stimulus money is being spent, lent, or borrowed into existence to provide millions and millions of smart meters all across America. A lot of consternation about that in California, where the meters don't seem to be reporting accurately. Well, we'll hear a lot more about that metering, but that's going to increase your cost. Of course, if we get the health care, that's going to increase your cost. And even though we've seen a steady decline in the real estate values, perhaps as much as a 30% decline since 2006, property taxes haven't been changed. There's no change in the assessment. So with all of that in mind, let's go into a news article. It's a rather important news article, far too long to discuss today in detail, but one that I'm going to bring to your attention. You can find it posted on Bloomberg.com. This is an article written by Caroline Salas, S-A-L-A-S, Caroline Salas. And the title of the article, the headline is Fatal Flying on Airlines, No Accident in Pilot Complaints to FAA. And, you know, we hear about the scanners at the airports and the reauthorization of the Patriot Act and all of this stuff, you know, and the guy trying to burn his underwear up and, you know, causing mayhem on an aircraft. You know, all of that is ridiculous. If you didn't like the flight meal, if you didn't like the cocktail, if you didn't like the movie, there were other options. You could have selected a magazine and said he decided to light himself on fire. You know, life's got to be mighty boring for some people. You know, they just let their minds run. I don't know, maybe he was a mind control slave or a drone or something. Nevertheless, all of this with a TSA, you can't board a airplane with check-on baggage without having to check air extra baggage in underneath, you know, for $15, $20, $25, $30 an extra. It's going to go up. Price of fuel is high. Aircraft costs are up. Wanding, screening, you know, view your naked body as you walk through. The whole thing is what a mess. But if you want to talk about real terrorism, I want to talk about something that's real as opposed to all this puff and smoke BS. This article is rather important. Because it points in a place where oftentimes these sorts of things go under the radar, if we could say so. The article begins this way. It says, on the evening of December the 10th, 2007, pilot Kenny Edwards got the order to fly a Continental Airlines Incorporated commuter flight from Tampa, Florida to West Palm Beach. He told his dispatch supervisor he wouldn't do it. The plane's collision avoidance system was broken, and a worn seal around the main cabin door made it difficult to maintain air pressurization above 10,000 feet, he told his bosses, Gulfstream International Airlines, Inc., which operated the Continental flight. They ordered Edwards to fly the 19-passenger Beechcraft 1900D turboprop anyway, 1900D turboprop plane. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Edwards says, but he refused, and as a result, he was fired. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the details. This is a 9-page article. I printed the whole thing out. I want to keep it in my records. But what we've got going down here, we've heard in the past about these people that have been hired at various small aircraft companies and flight companies and even some of the majors who really, you know, they're foreign. They may be legal immigrants, but they are not foreign-born. They don't read English well. They're not able to sit down and go through the flight manuals and follow the flight plan, you know, procedures on checking out the aircraft before it's issued. The mechanics are probably underpaid, overworked. There's no doubt about that, most places. A lot of the people that are out there doing aircraft repairs now have limited experience, and I mean that. A lot of the aircraft that are in the air are very old. Everybody's cutting corners, pinching, cutting back. But we talk about tariffs in the aircraft all the time. But when you board one of these airplanes, your chances of getting to the other end sometimes, it's like rolling dice. It's like rolling dice. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to go into our study of the history of law. Mark, stay with us.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50-90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I grew up in Alaska, folks. My father was in the military. He was in the United States Air Force. He was a command pilot. He spent most of his career as an instructor, certainly during World War II. He was a flight instructor and taught people, pilots, how to fly the B-17 and the B-26 and other aircraft. He was a multi-engine specialist, if you could say so. And when he retired at the rank of a major, we were in Alaska, had been rotated up to Alaska, and he continued flying for various Bush companies up there, Interior and Ween, and was an Arctic Bush pilot. He introduced the 727 Boeing to Arctic service for Ween, and in the many years that he flew the C-47, DC-3, the DC-6, and other aircraft. For those of you out there with any experience and knowledge in that, you know what I'm talking about. He also flew the Pilatus Porter Twin Otter and others. We had a small aircraft. He was a member of a flight club. And from my earliest days, I remember tootling around flying in airports or airplanes and following him around at the airbase and in the hangars and looking at airplanes and walking through them and stuff like that. So, you know, some people grow up on Wall Street and they see carpets all their life. I've seen a lot of diesel oil. I've seen a lot of repairs being made to aircraft, and I've flown with my father in aircraft in some of the most incredible situations. Spent some time living out in Nome, Alaska, of all places, one of the winters of my life. My father was stationed in Nome for a while. My mother wanted to join him there. And so I have seen what it's like to have a flight lounge, a crew lounge, and things like that, where men are away from their families for extended periods of time, sometimes just overnight, sometimes for 2 or 3 days on a layover. And so this article that you can find up on Bloomberg is pertinent to me in my life because I have visual images and personal knowledge of much of what they're talking about. And what they are discussing here is that when you fly, let's say, Delta Airlines from Seattle to Dallas-Fort Worth, and your destination is Waco, you transfer onto one of these twin turboprop planes, a small commuter plane, maybe holds 20 passengers or thereabouts, and you fly to Waco. And then you fly back from Waco to Dallas-Fort Worth, and then you fly back to Seattle on a jet. But it's that commuter link there that this article addresses, that many of these aircraft are aging. Many of the companies that are involved that own these aircraft and hire and train the pilots are cutting all possible corners, and it is putting you at a great risk in that first or last link of your flights as you try and connect with the majors. And so this article is important, I think, enough to read. Certainly Mark Begich, Nick Begich's brother, I believe, and the son of the, I think, what was he, a senator who died in Alaska in an aircraft crash. We've had lots of small crashes around. But if you want to make a comparison between real and present dangers of this sort of this nature, as opposed to somebody with a penchant for publicity or a desire to do personal damage, who wants to set his shorts and pants on fire and you know, cause mayhem on an airplane. If you want to know my opinion, I think this is a much more real and present danger that needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, they're turning to government to try and find solutions. And, of course, when you turn to government to find solutions, their solutions may not be so useful. Probably drive up the costs of flying. It will drive up and make it exceedingly difficult for young men and women to become pilots. And fewer people perhaps would be able to qualify as mechanics. And all of that is just job killing. There are reasonable things that could be done, but certainly something ought be done in this particular instance, because there are people, unscrupulous, amoral creatures on this planet, who will buy into a business, and then they follow a process known as OTF, Operation to Failure. And it's happening all across the United States. It's happening all around the world. It's happening all across the United States. It happens in our water systems, our sewer systems, electrical grids, your schools, all of the public buildings. They're just operating everything to failure. In other words, instead of doing regular scheduled maintenance with qualified people, they're just allowing any old Tom, Dick, and Harry to get involved. And to hell with the consequences. Unfortunately for us here in the United States, for all those people that are still confident enough, and in my opinion foolish enough, to submit to the TSA scrutiny and board aircraft and fly, and some people have to fly for their jobs. It's not always voluntary. Some people have to fly to obtain specialized training. Some people fly because they're connected with military or government. And so there are some people out there that, whether they like it or not, unless they want to quit their jobs, have to put themselves at great risk by going through this process. And so I just bring it to your attention. It's a 9-page article printed out on Word document, reformatted to Word, 9-pager, much longer than that on the Internet. But it's up there on Bloomberg. The title, again, is Fatal Flying on Airlines, No Accident in Pilot Complaints to the FAA. You might want to take a look at that article, read through it before you book another flight on an aircraft. Now, this week we've started a new series, if you will. We're looking at the history of law. Today's part three. We're going to think about the schools of legal thought and some early codes and go through a variety of materials that I've set up for this morning's broadcast, to help us to understand just a little bit more about law, so that we can get a handle on what is law, what role does it play in society, if you will, or civilization, what do we need to know about it, what can we know about it, and what can we know about it without investing thousands of hours and hundreds of thousands of dollars to wind up with a Juris Doctorate. And when you do wind up with a Juris Doctorate and you become a member of the bar, are you actually engaged in a practice of law, or are you just simply an agent of the state? And so we'll consider these things as we go through a couple more days on this subject of law. Certainly, there's no end in my library to the amount of material that we could discuss. There's no way we could do it all on air. But I'll do as much as we can in the time allowed. This is a section out of a textbook, university level, college textbook, originally by Dillaboo and Howards. It's called The Principles of Business Law. This is the 9th edition, Robert N. Corley and William J. Robert. And this was published in 1971 by Prentice Hall. In the first chapter, Law and Legal Theory, as it starts to open up the thoughts, it begins with schools of legal thought. And as we saw the other day, yesterday and the day before, yesterday and Monday, there are many different points of beginning, points of departure, but there is nothing new about the study of law. We went to the Bible. We can go back there again today if we need to. Gone to the encyclopedias. But this is a textbook. One that you might encounter, one that you most likely would encounter if you were seeking a degree in law. Begins on this wise. It says, schools of legal thought throughout history. Well, that's the thought. We'll be back in 3 minutes and pick up the schools of legal thought.
looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we can understand that there are many schools of legal thought, just as there are many schools of philosophy, and there are many people who aspire to be philosophers, and there are many people who aspire to be lawyers. And when you start down a road of study in your life, the things that we learn are like those rose-colored glasses. Sometimes they're not so rosy. Sometimes they're just real dense, dark, black, turtle-like shades that we put over our eyes. The information that we go into our mind sometimes colors the output in our lives. And so certainly we need to pay attention when we discover that there are multiple schools of legal thought. Well, let's start here instead for a moment. Law, again, this is out of the same textbook, the very first chapter. This would be like the things that you'd get in the first couple of days in a course that you might today have spent thousands to enroll in. You're going to get it free here. But law has also been defined as a scheme or a scheme of social control. This definition acknowledges the role of law in governing and regulating a civilized society. This word regulations and regulating comes up a lot. Of course, if you have a tractor and you have a governor on your tractor's engine, so that when you're out working in the field, you set it to a certain RPM, revolutions per minute, which then you select a gear, a forward gear, and then you begin into the field. You open up the field around the outside, then you come back and you plow the field. And it is through the use of a regulator or a governor that the tractor, no matter how much resistance it might find from the ground, maybe it comes across a big root or a big stone or something like that, it proceeds at a very constant speed because of the regulator. In other words, it's not just jumping and surging all across the field. If you're out in a four-wheeler, if you're running a four-wheel drive truck, I've got a hand manual throttle in my 61 Chevrolet 4x4, and it works much the same way. It keeps you at a constant speed so that you can go across a river or through a mud bog at a very constant speed without losing traction. The idea of regulating, there's nothing new about that. Our heart, our body, our mind, we have many built-in regulators, but law is this idea, the role of law in governing and regulating a civilized society. Implied in this definition is the dynamic role of law. Dynamic here as opposed to a static role of law. It's a dynamic role of law as an instrument of social, political, and economic change. The dynamic role of law is an instrument of social, political, and economic change. Now, throughout this textbook, it has a distinct bias towards lawyers. One would expect it to have such. But it is one that is limiting. It's exclusive. It's a club, and you ain't in it unless you study this material. And you can see that as it goes. It begins to develop a mindset in the young person who's studying law that puts them up on this pedestal, gets them to accept this idea of ruling. Again, the dynamic role of law is an instrument of social, political, and economic change. In this new world of law, as we started in yesterday, there are no absolutes. As August Comte said, the founder of the positive polity, which is a positive political system, the positive philosophy, and the founder of his universal religion of humanity, his catechism of the positive religion, and the founder of sociology, and the man who coined the term altruism. Many look at humanitarianism as having fallen off of his pen as well, that whole idea of living for others, you know, doing it all for the children. But we see this dynamic role of law as an instrument of social, political, and economic change, which is a corollary and is opposite of a system of absolutes. It's not a system of social, political, and economic status quo. The law, continuing from our textbook, is both an instrument of change and a result of change. You know, here on Become Vocal Local, I encourage you to be on the lookout for the change agents as they come into your area. The change agents, salting in all of the humanistic social changes in this changing world that we live in, especially under the usurper's administration. Continuing, it said, it is often difficult to determine whether the law brings about changes in society or whether changes in society bring about a change in the law. And certainly, over the last months, with the usurper and Jorge Bush preceding him, and Clinton and Bush and Clinton and Bush and Clinton, well, you know, the drill. Certainly, it's difficult to determine whether law is bringing about changes in society or whether changes in society bring about changes in the law. All things that are important to understand here. In our legal system, our authors write, both are true. The law, responding to the goals, desires, needs, and aspirations of society, is in a constant state of change. But as you know, the goals, the aspirations, the desires, and the needs of society are not spontaneous by any means and haven't been in this country for well over 100 years. Much of this is coming in under the banner of socialist thinking, largely atheistic, certainly has the flavor of immoral, but perhaps better just styled as amoral, an absence of morality. not even part of the discussion, not even part of the debate. Read an article on the Bloomberg News this morning about this Scholastic company. We have a branch of that company here in Neosho, Missouri, just north of me. And they published textbooks for children. And they were all down and out and losing money because the last of the Harry Potter series had been released and was out and about, and they didn't have anything else. And so now they're doing a program called Reading 180, and this being supported by and funded by your tax dollars, Reading 180, part of the stimulus plan. But when we allow people to come in and teach our children based on profit motives, as opposed to actually laying down the fundamental basic principles of life and teaching them how to learn as opposed to teaching them what to think, then we have problems in the system. So it's difficult to agree here that law is both an instrument of change and a result of change, and difficult to determine whether the law brings about changes in society or whether changes in society bring about changes in the law. But we'll just accept that and proceed. In our legal system, both are true. The law, responding to the goals, desires, needs, and aspirations of society, is in a state of constant change. Boy, isn't it. In some areas, it changes more rapidly than does the attitude of a majority of society. In these areas, the law and our legal system provide leadership in bringing about desirable changes. In some areas, most of society is ahead of the law in moving in new directions. Other institutions then assume the leadership, with the law cast in the role of the follower. In either case, the legal system is an integral part of any change in society. Okay? So if we can understand that, we can understand the role that the United Nations plays, the role that the United Nations, UNESCO, plays in all of this, how the media works into this, the entertainment industry figures into this, television, certainly, the programming, even now the internet. All of this is part of the change in society. And if we're unaware of the different philosophies that underlie all of this, that undergird this, and that drive it, we might not understand the laws that are being passed, allowing Interpol to come in and work with impunity in our country, etc. The executive order up on the website at whitehouse.gov. So then law has been applied or has been defined as the body of principles, standards, and rules which the courts apply in the decision of controversies brought before them. Notice the difference here between the, let's say, biblical understanding and the beginnings that we heard about yesterday, and this idea that law, that black robe judge and all those that sit up on the dais, that they are the body of principles, standards, and rules which the courts apply in the decision of controversies brought before them. If they are amoral jurists, they'll be ruling in an amoral way, ruling over an amoral society. If they're moral people, they'll rule that way. So that brings up schools of legal thought. Pick it up right there and right back.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic
traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Two's company, three's allowed. With your host, Sean.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sunday, 11 p.m. Central.
On the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So, if we can understand then that the authors here say that law has also been defined as the body of principles, standards, and rules by which the courts apply in the decision of controversies brought before them, and by this definition, then law would consist of three elements. Here they are. One, formulated legislation, including constitutions, statutes, and treaties. Two, case laws or the common law created by judicial decision and followed by the courts, and three, the system of legal concepts, procedures, and techniques which form the basis of the judicial action of courts, then we've got a little better place to start. This definition, the authors continue, considers law in terms of its sources and gives recognition to the difference between substantive law and procedural law. I've often said I would have a difficult time arguing my way out of, let's say, a parking ticket. Procedure's not a strong suit for me. But of law, I know something. But procedure is something that oftentimes many of the pedophagers, as we learned yesterday, new term, the lawmongers, procedure is what they talk about all the time, and they don't give you any of the background so that you don't know really what the greater picture is, and that's what I'm hoping to provide. So the schools of legal thought, then, throughout history, legal scholars have written about the nature and the origin of law, and we're going to cover a lot of that. Its purposes and the factors that influence its development. Legal philosophers have generally acknowledged that logic, history, custom, religion, and social utility are among the major influences and forces that shape and direct the law. So as logic was taken away from us in our public schools. We no longer teach Aristotelian logic, as history was rewritten by the revisionists, as they say, to the victor goes the spoil, and the victor writes history. As our customs have been dragged into the ground by multiculturalism and unbridled illegal invasions, we lose that. As our religion has been taken over largely by humanists and secular humanists and Unitarians and utilitarians and others, universalists, that's in the crapper. And social utility, that's the utilitarians, that's the greatest good of the greatest number, largely occulted and clouded over by the Fabian socialists. You can see that we're sitting here in pretty tough shape. But the authors say that those categories, logic, history, custom, religion, and social utility, are among the major influences and forces that shape and direct the law. And there's truth to that. But there has been disagreement as to the relative importance of these forces and the influence of each that each has had throughout history. Legal philosophers and the theories they have expounded may be grouped into five general categories or schools. So again, going back to the time of the Greeks, you know, Plato, ostensibly Socrates, you know, went to his favorite place and taught. The groves, everybody had a special spot, and people would gather around and listen to them. And so we have these legal schools as well. The historical, that's one. The analytical, that's two. The natural, there's three. The sociological, that's four. And the realist, that's five. So we've got five general categories of school. This is historical. Here's a quote. All law is originally formed in the manner of which, in which, in ordinary, but not quite correct language, customary law is said to have been formed. That is, it is first developed by custom and popular faith, next by jurisprudence, everywhere, therefore, by internal silently operating powers, and not by the arbitrary will of a lawgiver. In other words, it just rises up out of the people. All law originally formed in the manner in which, in ordinary but not quite correct language, customary law is said to have been formed. And that was a quote from Savigny and Friedman from their Legal Theory, page 136, published 1953. The authors continue, here the scholar in his definition has given weight to the evolutionary process of ideas. Now we're on page 5 of this textbook, and I've skipped over the first 4 pages, but I believe this is already the third time the use of the word evolution or evolutionary has been used. It has a distinct secular humanism, if you will. It has a distinct Darwinian bias. Things evolving. All right. It's not necessary to use the word evolution. It's not necessary to say evolutionary. There are other ways that you can state that. But if you want to teach something, if you want to teach a theory, then you've got to continually use the words in that theory. And certainly Darwin's evolution was being taught at this time and still is. Again, here the scholar in his definition has given weight to the evolutionary process of ideas and contends that as customs and practices gain popular acceptance and approval, they become formalized into rules of conduct. Why, everybody parts their hair that way. Everybody wears a belt when they're wearing their slacks, right? The historical aspect has been emphasized and made important. From primitive times, community living has required order. From primitive times, community living has required order. Now we're putting in the word community. So we've got evolutionary and community in the first 2 sentences here of this section. And that will be important as we go on. Hence, as society developed, there evolved, this is the second time in this particular section, there evolved customary and traditionary rules of conduct. In other words, we use these terms evolved, we're denying the existence of absolutes, and we're talking about evolution. Law was found in the rules and evolved from them. That's the third time. Custom results from repeat approved usage, and when such usage by common adoption and acquiescence justifies each member of society in assuming that every other member of society will conform thereto, a rule of conduct has been formulated. Now we're seeing this transference here, the use of community and society. When we read, we need to think. We need to understand what is society. What did he mean when he said society? What was he thinking when he used that word? What does it actually mean, society? Is society the great unwashed masses? Or are these the society feet creatures? Are these those in $5,000 suits, so on and so forth? We talk about community, communals. Is this a kibbutz? Is this a ghetto? What are we talking about? From a feudal standpoint, are we talking, when we talk about society, are we talking about the people that live in the big house? And the community, the people that live in the hovels? Just things to think about. When such a rule is adopted by a court as controlling in a particular case, or is enacted into legislation, law has been made. And then it continues. I'll spare you the lengthy quote by Cardoza. Such has been the history of commercial paper, partnerships, sales, and many other areas of commercial law. Now, in this textbook, the title is Principles of Business Law. But what we'll find throughout all of this is that this is commerce. This is commerce. And what this textbook aims to do is to teach the Uniform Commercial Code to budding young lawyers. So such has been the history of commercial paper, partnerships, sales, and many other areas of commercial law, the laws of commerce, lex mercatoria. Case law, developed in line with common business practice or custom, and the case law ultimately became codified. And then it talks about Book 3 dealing with the Uniform Commercial Code, which contains a brief history of commercial law, illustrates the influence of customs and business practices in the law. Now we're going to go into the break, come back on the other side of this break. We'll look at analytical, natural, sociological, and realist theories of law.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. It can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% 20% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, December the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oracle broadcasting.com. Call-in numbers throughout the broadcast are 512-904-8014 in the Austin, Texas area. Again, that's 512-904-8014. And internationally, around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. For those of you that have been listening to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that we've covered quite a few topics. We had a lengthy session studying the history of world civilizations from Edward McNall Burns and his textbooks. We spent a considerable amount of time looking at economics. It's kind of like a little homeschool classroom, I like to think of it, each morning, getting our brains fired up for the day with something a little bit better than drivel. And so, if we can understand and remember from our study of economics, where we found that as the Marxians came on the scene, Karl Mordecai Marx, he looked at the economic interpretation of history. And as another niche builder, that was his bias, if you will. That was his specialized area of thought. And here we find nothing different when we start looking at law and legal theory. As niche builders, the legal beagles, the law minds, the jurisprudes, they too have carved out their little niche in the wall, and they talk about the historical schools of legal thought, looking back, these various schools of legal thought, and the very first one is historical. So this would be the historical interpretation of law. Well, now we're going to get into the analytical theory of law. Law emanates from the sovereign, not from its creatures. And again, if you remember legal positivism, go back to Machiavelli. You can go back much earlier than that, but you can pick it up right in the time of the Romans. But it's been around a long time. This idea that whatever the prince says has the force of law. So here, analytical, law emanates from the sovereign, not from its creatures. We're creatures. We're creatures of the sovereign. The sum total of all those rules of human conduct for which there is a state sanction, rise of statism. Law, in its essence, is made up of those rules of human conduct which are made mandatory by the state upon all its citizens, without which social order and well-being could not exist. And that was written by Justice Stone. But, of course, we could go to Lao Tzu, or we could go to Confucius, and we could find the antiquity of this idea that law emanates from the sovereign and not from its creatures. Analytical jurisprudence relates to the study and the examination of law in terms of its logical structure. The definition above, which is almost identical to Blackstone's, that would be Blackstone's Commentaries of the Laws of England, gives weight to the need for certainty and to a system of positive rules logically deduced from fundamental principles dictated by a sovereign state with power to command. Law is a rule laid down by a superior power to guide and regulate those under the power. The state, as the lawgiver, hands down the law, and as sovereign, is bound by no overriding superior divine law or principle. As a sovereign, is bound by no overriding superior divine law or principle. So God, above the sovereign is your Lord, thy God.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we return once again, and we can look quickly over to Exodus once again. Returning there, as we must, Exodus 20 and 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up into the Lord, unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And so Moses went down to the people, and he spoke to them, and he spoke the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, and we go through that. We went through that yesterday. But notice these are all thou shalt nots. These are negatives, if you will. And then we see that in Exodus 21, in verse 12, beginning here, we see a little bit written a little bit differently. And there's some 613 laws that you can find in the Bible. But he that smiteth man so that he die shall be surely put to death. That's a little bit more of a positive law statement. And if a man lie not in wait, but God delivereth him into his hand, then I'll appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. That's a little different there. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt, here's a commandment, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. You can see this, the laws there. They certainly had no prohibition against the death penalty in days of old under Moses. But back to our study here, this analytical system where law emanates from the sovereign, not from its creatures, we can see how useful this book has been throughout all of the ages that has been extant, especially Constantine forward, but certainly throughout all of the rise of Catholicism, how useful it is, because the people being studied and learned and trained in this book in their original tongue or in others, they come to understand this disciplinary thing where law emanates from the sovereign. It's top-down rule. So then dropping down again in the article, the state as the lawgiver hands down the law, and as a sovereign is bound by no overriding superior divine law or principle. In other words, the people, the chattel, the creatures in the field, make no appeals to any higher authority than the sovereign. Under this school of thought. Thus, law is a system of principles or rules in the nature of commands. Such commands may be the orders of a monarch or of a totalitarian authority, such as might be the church, or they may be the legislative enactments, administrative orders, or judicial pronouncements of a democratic state. And they could be executive orders. They could be administrative rules, they could be best practices, they could be all manner of things. That's the analytical school. This is the third school, the natural school, the natural theory of law. Law is, quote, a rule of conduct arising out of the natural relations of human beings established by the Creator, capital C, existing prior to any positive precept, discovered by right, reason and the rational intelligence of man. Close quote. This definition gives significance to the idea that man by nature seeks an ideal of absolute right and justice as a higher law by which to measure all rules of conduct. In another broadcast, we can go into this idea of the higher law background in law. Some of the more recent moderns have written well on that. Corwin comes to mind immediately, the higher law. Law, when set against a background of divine principles, becomes a rule of reason pronounced by reasonable men for the benefit of mankind and the establishment of the good community. Man, as a reasonable being, is able to distinguish between good and evil. Above him, there exists law resting on reason and divine authority, which validates his man-made law. This is a very, very much of a minefield in here, because once again, it has that secular humanist line of reasoning salted in. But above him, again, a man, as a reasonable being, above him there exists law resting on reason and divine authority, which validates man-made law. So as long as it's not contrary to the rules of God or the laws of nature and nature's God, then it would be considered perhaps a just law. Thus, when the state, by legislation or by judicial process, lays down rules of conduct that are unfair, unreasonable, or inimical to the common good, they are in violation of natural and divine law. And that's really important for Americans to understand. Blackstone, again from his commentaries, notwithstanding his definition of law in terms of a command from a sovereign, in his commentary says, quote, "This law of nature, being coeval with mankind and dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other. It is binding all over the globe, in all countries, and at all times, and no human laws are of any validity if contrary to this." So there are these certain absolutes that people, as I said yesterday, in all but the most absolutely minimalistic, perhaps aboriginal state, even they probably feel the same way, all people have these innate senses of what is true and what is just. These are the natural laws. Natural law, nurtured by the church, softened the rigid common law of England, became the basis of equity. And whenever and wherever we come across this term equity in our discussions, let us all be aware of the three E's again of sustainable development. And they are environment, economy, and equity. So I'm trying to style my broadcast along those three E's so that we understand these better, so that we can rightly divide the word, if you will, and choose whether we intend to support sustainable development or reject it out of hand. But again, natural law, nurtured by the church, softened by the rigid common law of England, became the basis of equity, and finding its way to America is expressed in the Declaration of Independence. We'll pick that up right after these words from our sponsors.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit tpr20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On tpr20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit tpr20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's tpr20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's DIGANET.net. DIGANET.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So, understanding a little bit about this concept of natural law nurtured by the church, softened by the rigid common law of England, became again the basis of equity, and finding its way to America is expressed in the Declaration of Independence in the words, certain non-alienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, we know there's much more to that pursuit of happiness than meets the eye, but let's see how they continue. Professor Friedman in legal theory observes, natural law thinking in the United States undoubtedly inspired the founders or the fathers of the Constitution, and it has dominated the Supreme Court more than any other law court in the world. Such thinking has not prevented the court from vacillating from the unconditional condemnation of legislative regulation of social and economic conditions to its almost unrestricted recognition, from the recognition of almost unrestricted freedom of speech and assembly to virtual outlawing of a political party. Notice those words. And on the other hand, from the toleration of the most blatant discrimination against Negroes. Notice the use of that word. To the strong protection given in recent years, yet the American Constitution gives as near an approach to unconditional embodiment of natural rights as can be imagined. We can go back in time and pick up a little bit from another author stepping out of the textbook and going to Samuel Pufendorf's The Whole Duty of Man According to the Laws of Nature. Back in 1680s, I think was when it was written, where he writes this, in one of the early chapters of the book, but that God is the author of the law of nature, capital L, capital N, just like you find it in the Declaration, is thus demonstrated, parenthetically, considering mankind only in its present state, without inquiring whether the first condition of us mortals was different from this, nor how the change was wrought. Close parenthesis. Whereas our nature is so framed that mankind cannot be preserved without a sociable life, and whereas it is plain that the mind of man is capable of all those notions which are subservient to this purpose, and it is also manifest that men, not only, like the other creatures, owe their original to God, but that he governs them, parenthetically, let their condition be as it will, close parentheses, by the wisdom of his providence. Hence it follows that it must be supposed to be the will of God that man should make use of those faculties with which he is peculiarly endowed beyond the brutes, to the preservation of his own nature, and consequently, let the life of man should be let that the life of man should be different from the lawless life of the irrational creatures, and since this cannot otherwise be achieved but by an observance of the law natural, it must be understood that there is from God an obligation laid upon man to pay obedience hereto, as a means not invented by the wit or imposed by the will of men, nor capable of being changed by their humors and inclinations, but expressly ordained by God himself in order to accomplish this end. Now, if you could see this text, as it's in black and white before my eyes, as Hal Anthony likes to say, you would notice immediately the unusual capitalizations that can be found throughout this entire book, much the same way as there are capitalizations salted all through the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Referring to books of this nature would not be unusual or unexpected from our founders. Another book in my library, The Whig Lamp of Experience, lists catalogs of the books in our various founders' libraries and in Benjamin Franklin's lending library. And our founders were well-read gentlemen. They had looked into these things, referred to these things, and were writing based upon the knowledge they were able to glean from men far distant in time to them. But dropping down to a footnote here, he then says this: the ensuing treatment of God as the author of natural law is limited and indirect in comparison with scholastic accounts. For Pufendorf, man comes to understand natural law as commanded by God, not by recovering a transcendent reason he shares with God, but by observing what it takes to preserve a creature whose existence must be regarded as willed by its creator. At this time, it would be necessary to understand the influence of St. Thomas Aquinas, as he tried and attempted, to the best of his abilities in Summa Theologica and other writings, to balance the wisdom, if you will, of the Greeks, Aristotle, Plato, others, Cicero, balancing that with that which was being advanced by the Moors, the Mohammedans, the Mahomets, trying to keep the flock in order at a time when many people were leaving the rigidity of Catholicism and going after this Neoplatonism in history, which we've discussed in the past. So we can see there then in this that when we go into the study of the natural law, and we can do that more, and we'll do that more, there's much to understand. This is the fourth of the schools, sociological. Law is an experimental process in which the logical factor is only one of many leading to a certain conclusion. Law is a means to an end. The law is both a result of social forces and an instrument of social control. Of course, it would behoove us to go in and study the writings of John Dewey and understand what was being transformed here. But when we say that this is the sociological theory of law, how can you not find Auguste Comte, who was the man that coined the terms and the science sociology, when we look into the sociological theory of law? And we shouldn't be at all surprised to find no absolutes, and to find that law is an experimental process, again, in which the logical factor is only one of many leading to certain conclusions, where law is but a means to an end, and the law is both a result of social forces and an instrument of social control. Enter Aldous Huxley and Julian Huxley and all of the rest, George Orwell. By this definition, the writer seeks to find and describe law by what it does, its method, its purpose, and how it functions in balancing conflicting social interests. Many aspects of society are emphasized and made important. In order to find how the law is made and how it functions, investigations into many areas of society are required. Economic theories, political, religious, and social considerations are factors in formulating the law. Under the pressure of social considerations are under the pressure of conflicting interests, legislators and courts make law. That's right there.
Cutting Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine, from EngineBrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit EngineBrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so when we try and make heads and tails out of the various and sundry laws that are coming down the pike on us and at us with like a fire hose these days, it helps a little bit to understand some of these different theories. It also makes it important for us to read the laws carefully, because not all of the laws have the same authors or authorship. And they seek to balance forces in society, if you will, international community would be a more appropriate way of saying it. It seeks to balance the various different philosophies of the international community and make the laws a one-size-fits-all type of an application. And this is one of the reasons why when you read one section of a law and move on to the next section, you have to, sometimes are left scratching your head because it seems to be changing. But it's trying to address different motivators, if you will, different motivations. But again, back to the text, economic theories, political, religious, and social considerations are factors in formulating the law under the sociological theory of law. Under the pressure of conflicting interests, legislators and courts make law. The lawmakers, the lawgivers, and the courts make law through their findings, their decisions. Thus, law, when enacted by legislators or pronounced by courts, is in the end the result of finding an equilibrium between conflicting interests. Law is not only generalization deduced from a set of facts, a recognized tradition, a prescribed formula for determining natural justice, but it also consists of rules for social control growing out of the experiences of mankind. Current social mores, that's a sociological terminology there, social mores, political ideologies, international situations and conditions, and economic and business interests are all elements to be investigated in evaluating in making the law and in determining how it operates. The plot thickens, doesn't it? And here's the fifth school, the realist school of legal theory. The life of the law, this is a quote from Justice Holmes, the life of the law has not been logic, it has been experience. In this statement and in his definition of law as a prediction of what courts will decide, see, that's a little bit different, isn't it? Writing the law as a prediction of what the courts will decide certainly helps to pack the court, doesn't it? Justice Holmes follows the realist school of legal thought. This school stresses the empirical and pragmatic aspects of the law. Yet, one of its hallmarks is the recognition that law is actually unpredictable and uncertain. Here, there's no absolutes. Law is unpredictable and uncertain. A development of the 20th century American jurisprudence, the realist school of legal thought is primarily concerned with facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Realists prefer scientific analysis to theoretical reasoning. They distrust formulas and traditional, simple rules of law. To them, the law must develop to conform with social needs, even if there's thousands of pages, I suppose, in the bill. These needs can only be determined by the facts. Technical legal analysis is not enough. Realists also acknowledge that different rules of law have various degrees of relevant significance and that courts cannot treat all legal principles as equals. You see how complicated this could get. I can say that as I go through the various flea markets and gather up these books from my library, stopping at yard sales and things like that as well, it's amazing to me how many of these textbooks have been purchased by budding young students, and you can tell that they never finished the course because they're highlighting and underlining, will perhaps stop at the first or second chapter. In other words, they stuck with the course until the drop date, and then they quit out. But fortunately for me, they were just interested in the book and cast it aside, and I'll pick them up and read the whole thing. You should see them now. Heavily underlined, margin written, cross-referenced, etc. The uncertainty of the law to a realist is the result of several premises which are basic to his philosophy. First, realists recognize that much of our law is judicially created. In other words, it's judge-made law. It's based on stare decisis, which we introduced yesterday, the common law, often in appeals to a higher court. And the judges come back in the appeals, the appellate court come back in a decision, and rule up or down on the lower court's decision, and in such a way they find law or they make law. Since society is constantly changing, the author writes, the law must change. You ever felt like the rules of the game just keep changing? You could say that since society is constantly changing, the law must change, but who's changing the society? The schools? The television set? Hollywood? The print media? Why is society constantly changing? Why is it changing so rapidly? If not, it's being led. So the law must change along with it to meet its needs and goals. And in this regard, the realist philosophy is similar to the philosophy of the sociological school of legal thought. And boy, aren't they, Siamese twins. Law that is judge-made and changing is not susceptible to easy prediction. There is less possibility of accurately predicting what courts will do than the other schools of legal thought would lead one to believe, especially if the courts have been packed in advance. Secondly, the realist gives recognition to the fact that there are two variables contributing to the uncertainty in law. First is the law itself. Since the law may change, any prediction of what a court will do always has a probability of accuracy factor less than one. A little bit of probability thrown in there for you. Blaise Pascal, for instance, the father of probability. The second variable is the facts of the case. This latter variable is probably most important because no two people will view the evidence in the same way or draw the same inferences from it. Since a reviewing court may view the facts differently from the trial court, or a trial judge may view them differently from a jury, a substantial amount of uncertainty is inherent in all litigation. And that will only continue to increase as our system, as our people, become more multicultural and diverse. Because everyone will have their own bias. The sodomizer, what's her name? The one, the La Raza justice that we have? She'll rule in favor of certain things, and it becomes law, and it starts to change the way we relate to one another in this country. All of a sudden, we've got a sweetheart on the board, on the bench, for illegal aliens, and gun controls, and other things. Continuing, it is sometimes said that realists are concerned with what the law is, not with what it ought to be. This statement is misleading because the realist uses facts to determine the law and realizes that the product, law, is frequently made and not found. This is so important. In determining what the law is, realists use scientific measures to measure social desires and to make the choice between conflicting values. In the 1970s, a realist would use computers, symbolic logic, and behavioral analysis in determining what the law is. Can you imagine today why these pieces of legislation coming forward today are into the thousands of pages? Have they unleashed artificial intelligence on us? Artificial intelligence to generate law, to achieve certain predetermined ends and outcomes? To them, law is a means to a social end, not the end itself. And both the means and the end are subject to constant review and change. So you run the law through a computer, an algorithm, and it reviews all of the possible variables that a Democratic majority would approve, that a minority Republicans could not defeat, that a president or a Democrat president would sign, that the Supreme Court would uphold, and that the people wouldn't notice. You can imagine what would be happening if computers write law.
the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, at website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so we have returned once again and concluding this particular segment out of the textbook under the chapter Law and Legal Theory. These schools of legal thought illustrate the difficulty of defining law and the many factors which influence each definition. In studying legislation, judicial opinions, and other legal materials, an understanding of what jurisprudential theory motivated the writer is of great assistance in determining what idea an author wishes to convey, the intention of a legislature, and why and how a judge reached his decision. So in all other things, we need to look into and inquire into, make an inquiry into the various lawmakers, lawgivers, and judges who financed their campaigns. Where did they go to school? What clubs and organizations in this pluralistic society have they been part of and influential in? What nonprofit organizations are they sweet on, big on, or sit on the interlocking boards of directors? All of this stuff plays into the bigger, the greater picture, the big mix. And ever much more so today than in the past, as I said, when you have the possibility that you could actually program computers to look at end goals and timetables and then generate legislation necessary to move the sheeple and to pens, repen them as might be thought, penning them up at precisely the right time in precisely the right place with the precisely correct result achieved. Garbage in, garbage out. Those that program the computers have this capacity. To a different text, a different book, Arthur R. Hoag in his Origins of the Common Law. Again, we're just getting basic, fundamental basic principles. He says here in the first chapter, Introduction, Social Change and the Growth of the Common Law. Same theme, you see. Social change, the change agents throughout all of law. Law is the bond of civil society. Before I go into this, let me also say this, that we need to pay attention to where these individuals, various and sundry, have gone to school. Who were their educators? Who were their professors? Sometimes you can get someone like, let's say, Adam Weishaupt, teaching at Ingolstadt for a long period of time, and you will have many, many successive young men that have graduated out here, indoctrinated in a specific line of thinking, that then turn around and they themselves become the indoctrinator, disciples as they were of their master, the illumined ones, if you will. They then begin to teach. And so you have this intergenerational indoctrination and shaping of minds through the medium of education. That's not been lost on the world controllers, and it probably has not been lost on you either. I just wanted to mention that. But law is the bond of civil society. The author begins this way. He says, throughout its long history, the English common law has borne directly on the raw facts of daily life in English society. We cannot separate ourselves from the English common law. This is the foundation of law in the colonies. The rules of common law are social rules, never remote from life. They serve the needs of a society once feudal and agricultural, but now, at the time of this writing, now industrial and urban. And this was published in 86. Arthur Reed Hoag, born in Pittsburgh, the son of a distinguished Presbyterian minister, Walter Jenkins Hoag. Many of these are universalists. Just because it's a minister, don't be deceived. There's leaven in every loaf. Never remote from life, again, they serve the needs of a society once feudal and agricultural, but now industrial and urban. This now we live in is post-industrial age, the ascendancy of the technocracy. Gradually, as social changes have occurred, the law has been adapted by judicial interpretation to meet new conditions. It continues, as always, to reflect the character of the social order, the new social order. And there's a new legal order, and there's a new economic order, there's a new political order, there's a new world order. And it's been coming on us in us for 400-500 years or more. Englishmen in the Middle Ages accepted as they do now the need for rules governing such recurring relations as those between buyer and seller, landlord and tenant, guardian and ward, creditor and debtor. The rules of common law touch a farmer's property rights in a crop of wheat planted in a rented field or the right to use a public roadway. Nor is the common law a stranger in the marketplace. The fishmonger, as well as the banker, may invoke its protection. The bond, then, between law and society is close and intimate. The history of the common law is matter of fact, and it rests ultimately on the relationship of people who have taken their differences before a court for settlement. And it will be assumed in all of the discussion which follows that the common law has grown now rapidly, now reluctantly, to keep pace with changes in the social order from which Again, it is inseparable. And we've, just to repeat there, we've read that before. Continuing, he says, social change and legal change are more easily discerned than accounted for. And the process by which legal changes are made is often far from clear. The mystery surrounding many legal changes may be particularly baffling when we deal with a system of judge-made law. For who can determine with precision the thought of medieval royal judges as they built up a body of principles in case after case, decision after decision? It is difficult enough to grasp the nature of the judicial process in the present when we have full reports of trials and the opinions as well as the decision of judges. Even so, there is value in an account of the common law during its foundation years when its principles were not overlaid by a vast burden of statutory legislation designed for the complexity of modern life. You can see there's very similar repetition here. Whether you begin to study the principles of business law or lex mercatoria, the laws of commerce, or whether you're starting into an introductory study of the origins of common law, there are certain fundamental basic principles that are laid down in the teaching. An account of the common law in medieval England would bring us close to many, if not all, of the elements which must be considered in dealing with the law in any period. Here we shall touch on substantive rules and rules of procedure, as well as on courts of justice and agencies of enforcement. Give you an idea where this book would take us. And we'll come back to this in future broadcasts, get into a definition of common law in the Middle Ages. We'll certainly go back into the early codes. I think I'll dig out my Lao Tzu and Confucius, and we can introduce a little bit of that as well. We can understand how much of an influence religion and politics have on law. But certainly when we sit down and listen at the radio and you're learning some particular little grain from the pettifoggers, if you're learning how to live in your county without a driver license or avoid having to register your vehicle and pay insurance and have license plates or any of the 150 other little things that people come up with, they're... The way I've styled this after having read all that I have is these are like individual solutions to global problems. We have some fundamental basic principles that have gone awry in law that are causing us to live in a world where justice does not exist, does not prevail. There's no remedy in the law. And rather than each one here, one there, each one here, one there, investing years trying to figure out how to avoid a driver license, why don't we just fix the broken watch, folks? Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll be back again till tomorrow, and until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Happy holidays from all of us here at Oracle Broadcasting.